Good morning, everyone. That was beautiful. It was lovely to hear choir music this morning, and we thank Pax Ressler for that. This is the Goshen Choir we heard, and this is where Pax went to college. So he told us that this morning. So it's great. Thank you so much, Pax, for that beautiful music, which I see you've arranged. Great. So welcome, everyone, to this virtual worship service at Tabernacle United Church. My name is Reverend Geneva Butts, and I'm standing in today for Pastor Katie, who is taking a Sunday off. I want to welcome everyone on this Valentine's Day. I know that if we were in person, we would be having some wonderful Valentine treats at the coffee hour. So I hope you'll all have something special today. I want to give a special welcome to all the visitors who are with us. We are so glad that you joined us this morning, and we would like to know your name. If you'd be willing to share it in the chat, that would be lovely, and we could all welcome you. And we'd like to know more about you if you would be willing to fill out the virtual visitor card, which is on the screen. The link is on the screen. Today is also Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday always concludes the season of Epiphany, a season that is about light and revelation. It begins on Epiphany Day when the Magi brought their gifts to the infant Jesus and ends today on Transfiguration Day when Jesus took three of his disciples up into a high mountain where he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzlingly bright, and Elijah and Moses appeared with him. Very mysterious, mystical day. And so happy that we can celebrate it as we move from Epiphany season into Lent. Lent begins on Wednesday, February 17th, Ash Wednesday. The theme this year is a time for healing, and we will be focusing on the healing stories in Mark's gospel in worship, as well as each Wednesday evening in Bible study. On this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we will have an online service beginning at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to join on Zoom. And also, during the day, you can come to the church to receive ashes. There are three times that you can come to Tabernacle Church. That's at 3700 Chestnut Street. So early in the morning, 7 to 8 a.m., around noon, from noon to 1 p.m., and in the evening from 5 to 6. You will mark your own foreheads with the ashes, and we ask that you please wear a mask. Bible study, as I mentioned before, will be held each Wednesday evening at 5:30 during Lent, and we will focus on the healing stories in Mark's gospel. Tuesdays and Thursdays, prayer gatherings will also continue during Lent at 8:30 each morning, those Tuesday and Thursday mornings. I want to welcome Chris Purdom, who is a long time, I would say his entire life, a member of Tabernacle Church. And he is currently our vice moderator, and he will be giving today's sermon. We are so grateful, Chris, that you are able to be with us in this special way today. I also want to give a shout out of thanks to Gina Del Corazon, who is managing this Zoom part of worship this morning. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but we have a lot of assurance that all is well because Gina is there. So let us worship God by joining together in our call to worship.
Come into this holy space, a space with no walls, no doors. Come.
Come, take the covering from your face and look at God.
In this time, in this space, we can look at each other with love and care.
Looking at each other is looking at God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, thanks to Chris's message, and Chris emailed me about what Chris would be speaking about, all the songs this morning have something to do with love in honor of St. Valentine and the message this morning. So this song is one that many of us grew up with, and Pastor Katie and I changed the words slightly. If you know motions, feel free to do them or to create new ones for these new words. Let's sing this song together.
Lord, we lift your name on high. Lord, we love to sing your praises. You're calling us from death to life, and out of the depths you raise us, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth, a lonely babe, from the earth to the streets to show the way, turning tables. calling out, healing all the world pass by. Lord, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high. We lift your name on high. Lift your name on high. Lord, we love to sing your praises. You're calling us from death to life, and out of the depths you raise us, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth, a lowly babe, from the earth to the streets to show the way, turning tables, calling out, healing all the world pass by. Lord, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high. We lift your name on high.
A few weeks ago, we sang this song, I Love the Lord Who Heard My Cry, by Richard Smallwood. And if you didn't learn it fully then, here's another opportunity to sing it. We will take our time, and let's sing it twice through.
My name is Lucinda McGill-Legendre, and my pronouns are she, her. Please join me in the opening prayer. God, we find ourselves in another winter, closed in, chilly, and sometimes despondent. It is hard to read the words of the psalmist who says, "The Lord summons the earth from the rising of the sun." God, we are told that you shine forth in fire and tempest. We look at the world, we look at our hearts, and all we see is cloud and confusion. Bring us some light. Bring us some hope. Amen. And now join me in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we have been living in dull light and chill air. We confess that we have sometimes allowed the dark and the cold into our hearts. We have grown dull and careless. We live behind doors, and we have forgotten how brilliant you and your world can be. We live behind masks, and we forget how to breathe. We forget how to breathe in the warmth and the light that you create. Lead us back into the sun and the healing wind. Hear these words of assurance. The God who created warmth will bring us back to our own light. The God who created love will lead us out of loneliness. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
To pass the peace, and I invite you to go to gallery view and unmute yourself to greet one another with the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace, friends.
Good morning.
Peace.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, Ron.
Good to be with you,
Patrick. Hi.
With you.
Good day. Thank you all.
Peace.
Hey, Scott.
Peace, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi, Lynn and Lynn.
Hi,
Kitty.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi,
Eva.
Hi.
Hi, Verona.
Hi.
Susan Pierce. Hi.
Hi.
Peace, Verona.
Susan.
Hi.
Heather B.
Hey. Eloise and Dick. Hi.
Hey, peace.
Hi, Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Ed.
Everyone.
Peace to you, Amanda. Good morning.
Mike.
Two Lins. Hello, two Lins.
Hello, Susan.
Hi.
Peace to everybody on the second page.
Thank you, Audrey. Good morning.
Peace, Lynn.
Peace. Good morning.
Peace, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Good morning,
everybody. Welcome all the new people.
He said,
hi, Amanda.
Welcome all you new people. Welcome, welcome.
Peace, Renat.
What? The whole gallery?
Yeah, I never.
Hey, Zana.
How's the whole gallery?
Hi, Compers.
Hi, Elliot. Hey, Nicole.
Susan Pierce.
Yeah.
Dick's on.
Hi, Michelle and Amanda.
Hi, Nicole and Elliot. Hi.
Hey, Susan.
And hi, Rose.
The
Lynns are there.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello,
hey,
Megan Gibson.
Peace to HB, whose name I've forgotten already.
Heather.
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 Heather. Thank you.
Good morning,
Peace, HB. Mitchell.
Hi,
Mitch.
Right?
Hi,
good morning.
Hi, Laura. Peace,
everyone. Good
morning.
Jenny.
Peace.
Peace to Oksana, who I can't see.
Peace, Amanda.
Peace.
To Gwyneth and Jason and Chris
Page. Oh, Fanny, Laura. Hi.
Good morning.
Peace, Fanny. Peace, Ron.
Morning.
Ooh, what's that noise?
These are just on.
I'm so sorry. I was trying to fetch my children for children's time. Hear the first reading from Psalm 50, 1 through 6. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before God is a devouring fire, a mighty tempest all around him. She calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that she may judge her people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare their righteousness, for God their self is judge. Selah.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children and the young at heart to come forward to hear the children's time. So if you are one of the folks who would like to be part of that smaller circle, feel free to go down to the reactions button and click raise hand and we will spotlight you. And while we're doing that, let's sing.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Nicole. My pronouns are she, her, and this is Elliot, whose pronouns are he, him. It's very nice to be with you this morning. And kiddos, if you know how to make a heart with your fingers, can you do that up to the screen? You kind of put your thumbs together at the bottom and arch your fingers together. We've been doing a lot of love stuff today because it's Valentine's Day. And so Elliot and I brought a love story to share with you. This is the front cover, and it's called Wherever You Are, My Love Will Find You. And we usually read this book imagining it's me or Elliot's dad who's saying these words. But today I want to read it and us imagine that it's God saying these love words to
us. It actually is, I think.
I remember learning that God sometimes is referred to as a parent, as mother or father, and we are sometimes referred to as God's children. And I didn't totally understand that metaphor until I became a parent. And then I understood a little bit about this super special kind of love. So let's imagine, I'm going to share my screen so you can watch the images with us.
It's funny that mine only has Elia.
Oh, yeah. Our pronouns make it so that all our name can't quite be seen, but on the bottom of our thing. Okay, so here is our love story for you today. Elia is going to be clicking at the right point so that the pages move along. Wherever You Are, My Love Will Find You by Nancy Tillman. And let's imagine, whether you are a kiddo or not a kiddo, that God is saying these words to you, God's child. I wanted you more than you ever will know, so I sent love to follow wherever you go. It's as high as you wish it. It's quick as an elf. You'll never outgrow it. It stretches itself. So climb any mountain. Climb up to the sky. My love will find you. My love can fly. Make a big splash. Go out on a limb. My love will find you. My love can swim. It never gets lost, never fades, never ends. If you're working, this looks like a great job, doesn't it? I like to pick apples using a giraffe as my helper. If you're working or playing or sitting with friends, you can dance till you're dizzy, paint till you're blue. There's no place, not one, that my love can't find you. And if someday you're lonely or someday you're sad, or you strike out at baseball, or think you've been bad. This is the part where I cry. Just lift up your face, feel the wind in your hair. That's me, my sweet baby. My love is right there. In the green of the grass, in the smell of the sea, in the clouds floating by, at the top of a tree. In the sound crickets make at the end of the day, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved, they all say. My love is so high and so wide and so deep, it's always right there, even when you're asleep. So hold your head high and don't be afraid to march to the front of your own parade. If you're still my small babe or you're all the way grown, my promise to you is you are never alone. You are my angel, my darling, my star, and my love will find you wherever you are. You are loved.
Yep.
And there's me on a hike. Elliot, what did you notice in these pictures? Is there anything you noticed in these pictures?
I noticed that the boy is sleeping with the sheep in that picture. And back here, he's actually not painting them blue. He's painting them red.
He's with animals in a lot of these pictures, right?
Yep.
Do you like that? So the thing
and bear
I keep,
and pandas,
yeah, rabbit.
And rabbit and giraffe and a kangaroo and an elephant and I think that's a dog.
It might be.
And a seal and
so the other thing I notice about these pictures is the sparkles. Do you see those sparkles on every page? There's these sparkles. What do you think that's supposed to be?
Love.
You think the sparkles are the love coming around? I like that. I like imagining that that's the sparkles. So we at church sometimes call each other like our church family. And that's because we hope that this place is a place where you kiddos and the not so kiddos find this kind of love, this kind of love this story is about. That is our grandest hope, that this might be a place of that kind of love for all of you, our church family. Let's say a prayer. Will you repeat after me?
Okay.
If you have someone that you're with, hold hands. If not, you can reach them out to the screen so you can hold hands with others in this church family. Holy One.
Holy One.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Even when we feel like we've been bad.
Even when we feel like we've been bad.
Let us spread that love.
Let us spread that love.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a song that I grew up with that always kind of, I think it has a haunting melody and something so mysterious about it that really speaks to the mysteriousness and the grandness of God's love to me. If you aren't familiar, I think you'll learn it quickly as we sing these four verses.
Sing on, while millions
theme I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And to eternity I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And to eternity I'll sing on.
Here now the second reading for today. 2 Corinthians, from chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, and I'll be reading from the Good News translation or version. For if the gospel we preach is hidden, it is hidden only from those who are being lost. They do not believe because their minds have been kept in the dark by the evil god of this world. He keeps them from seeing the light shining on them. The light that comes from the good news about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. For it is not ourselves that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The God who said, "Out of darkness the light shall shine," is the same God who made their light shine in our hearts, to bring us the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me? Good. All right. So before I begin, I need to give you my standard disclaimer. I'm Chris. I'm non-binary, and I try to avoid pronouns, but I'm okay with he and him. I am the vice moderator here, not the pastor. We have other better preachers, but I've been here 56 years, and they humor me by letting me preach once every year or two. If you're here for the first time, thank you for taking a chance on us, and please come back again when somebody else is preaching. Also, while I am on Zoom and Teams and WebEx all day, every day for work, this is my first time preaching on Zoom, and I ask your forgiveness in advance for any speed or volume issues. Let us pray. God, I'm out here on my heretical limb to speak my unpleasant truth again. May my words be in your service and bring more meaning than fear, discomfort, offense, and anger, regardless of my intent. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Several years ago, when I looked very different, I was sitting between two women I know in a conference room who were arguing about whether I looked intelligent. The one on my left said I did because I had hair like Doc Brown. And the one on my right said I did not because my face was fat and it made me look childish. My sermon this morning is titled Bad Ideas. Last summer, the Texas GOP unveiled a new slogan, "We Are the Storm," then denied it had anything to do with QAnon and was taken from Psalm 29 as though the QAnon believers were not already drawing from biblical imagery. On January 12, it was reported on Forbes that a bank manager from Georgia had killed himself in his home after pleading not guilty in DC Superior Court for attempting unlawful entry to the Capitol and violating the DC curfew. The article circulated on Twitter along with his picture. One person commented, "The poor man looks like a bank manager. He must have been tricked." As though bank managers, at least bank managers in my demographic, are incapable of evil. Also, after the attack on the Capitol, a Twitter argument erupted between Kevin Sorbo and Lucy Lawless, otherwise best known as Hercules and Xena the Warrior Princess. When Sorbo stated that the people in the rotunda did not look like patriots. He wasn't objecting to the Capitol being attacked, mind you. It was just that the people who were there didn't look enough like him and therefore must be Antifa imposters. I was once in a courtroom for a civil trial in which a Philadelphia woman was suing a Hasidic Jewish man from Brooklyn who she claimed had cheated her in a real estate deal. The judge asked if any prospective jurors were incapable of finding for the defendant, and half the prospective jurors raised their hands and asked to be excused. Today is not only Valentine's Day, it's also Transfiguration Sunday, which in parts of Christendom is a big deal. For those of you who did not grow up with Bible stories, in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, Jesus goes up a mountain with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. Jesus' clothes turn a radiant, dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appear next to Jesus, talking with him. Peter starts talking about building dwellings, which are sometimes translated as tabernacles, for the three of them. God speaks out of a cloud, telling them that Jesus is God's beloved son and they should listen to him. And suddenly Moses and Elijah disappear. That's the whole thing. This year, the assigned gospel reading from this story is from Mark, specifically chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. The New Revised Standard Version, which would be in the pew in front of you if we were physically in the tabernacle right now, has chapter subheadings in it. And it labels verses 2 through 8 as the Transfiguration, including verse 9 under the heading, "The Coming of Elijah." In verse 9, Jesus tells the disciples to tell no one what they have seen until after he has risen from the dead, and that is where today's assigned reading ends. As I do when I am preparing to preach, I read several commentaries about the Transfiguration online. It's a good thing to do, just Google the verses and see what comes up. One suggested preaching about the experience One suggested preaching about the experience from the viewpoint of everyone on the mountain, just to make you feel like you were there. There's a queer interpretation that the Transfiguration is Jesus's coming out. If you want the really deep Christological stuff, it's that God becomes human in the incarnation and human becomes God in the Transfiguration. The standard social gospel and evangelical commentary is that while visiting with God is important, we must come back down off the mountain and spread God's light to others. Some commentators concentrate on the Transfiguration as establishing Jesus' authority without ever really saying how, especially since there were only three witnesses who were sworn to secrecy. Though the UCC's suggested call to worship for today emphasizes that wherever two or three are gathered to worship, a Holy Spirit is present. The most interesting commentary I read was by the Reverend Matthew Henry. I'm not saying the best, just the most interesting. Reverend Henry, a Presbyterian minister and the author of Commentary on the Whole Bible, was born in Wales in 1662, was mostly self-educated, was working from the King James as a source text, was known for being anti-Catholic, and one might gather from the commentary was also anti-Jewish, but that apparently was not as remarkable. What caught my attention at first was that his commentary on the Transfiguration covers verses 1 through 13. So here is all of 1 through 13 from the NRSV. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "What do the scribes say about Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming, first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." Out of order, this adds three elements to what was in the lectionary. One, it discounts the future return of Elijah, making it one of many passages in the New Testament designed to convince Jewish readers that Jesus is the foretold Messiah, including the appearance of Elijah and Moses earlier in this story. Two, the idea that the kingdom of God will come within the lifetime of the disciples and with power. And three, the disciples questioning what it means to rise from the dead. The problem with that preacher's sermon that makes everyone feel like they're on the mountain suggestion I mentioned earlier is that an argument over whether Jesus was the Jewish Messiah is preserved in the Synoptic Gospels as is and turned into a plot device in the Gospel of John. And 2,000 years later, QAnon has added a secret Rothschild space laser to the bad ideas they lifted from the protocols of the Elders of Zion. And the President of the United States showed a video on a giant television to his crowd on the Ellipse the morning of January 6th with encoded imagery of the replacement theory, which was lifted from Mein Kampf. You were not there on the mountain or anyone else or anywhere else near first century Roman occupied Jerusalem. You are not there now. This argument has nothing to do with you. Two, the with power edition is reminiscent of the psalm we already read, which is another psalm that references a storm. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. But we are and are called to be the body of Christ. We, and I include in that we, the Texas GOP, are not God's storm. Three, we've also seen some bad ideas about rising from the dead in the last year. What with JFK Jr. and Hugo Chavez playing parts on opposite sides in the QAnon imagined battle between white Christian nationalists and Satan-worshipping, baby-eating, election-fixing elites. I don't believe that nonsense. There are many reasons to be angry at institutions and people in power, but those are not them, and the people who stormed the Capitol were not offering a solution. This transfiguration story speaks to different nonsense. I am still unlearning at 56 about appearance and authority. For instance, I can read your mind by looking at you. Actually, that one isn't nonsense. I'm very well trained and good at it. But I was raised to believe that while a wide range of gender roles and expressions were okay, that gender was immutable and there were limits to acceptable expression. That America was a meritocracy and people on top were there for a reason. That the British deserved to rule the world, well, maybe not the United States, but the rest of the world, and were good at it. That capitalism is great for everybody, and that even though Rizzo was a bad cop for harassing beatniks, police are important and necessary. And that while there are no inferior people, and slavery and Nazis and the Klan were all evil, that there are such things as white people who are on average, especially the Protestants, more civilized, sophisticated, intellectual, and industrious than everyone else. I have had to learn and unlearn a lot of bad ideas. I understand now that bad ideas are what we have to fight in ourselves and in community. I also know that an unmanageable percentage of the population is infected by some real doozies, and that they vote, and that they elect representatives with the same bad ideas, and sometimes I feel hopeless and trapped. Paul sees it more as a lack of exposure to good ideas. For if the gospel we preach is hidden, it is hidden only from those who are being lost. They do not believe because their minds have been kept in the dark by the evil God of this world. Reverend Henry says the misunderstanding of scripture is a great prejudice to the entertainment of truth. Some of the bad ideas infecting America are clearly bad interpretations of scripture, but I know that Paul and Reverend Henry were not immune to bad ideas, that some of our bad ideas are embedded in this faith that we profess. And while we good mainline Protestants tiptoe around them in the lectionary, the way my mother only ever sang me the first verse of Home on the Range as a lullaby, not all Christians follow the lectionary, and those bad ideas are particularly evident when people juxtapose the cross emptied and the noose to be filled. In the Transfiguration story, God says, "Listen to him." And while there's some strange Jesus quotes in the Bible, Jesus himself says the most important thing is love. And as today is also Valentine's Day, and I believe in the free love God, the universal Christ consciousness, and the activist Holy Spirit, I'm going back to the queer thing. Come out. Fight the bad ideas with good example. Love radically, whatever that means to you. Love who you will and celebrate other people's love, regardless of what kind it is, whether it's storge, philia, eros, or agape. All of them are better than the alternative. And now I'm going to finish with a resource from the UCC website by the Reverend Tracy Howe Wispelway, Minister of Congregational and Community Engagement for Faith Education, Innovation, and Formation. It's called Living Psalm 2, Transfiguration Sunday. Why does violence continue against the poor, the migrants, the queer and trans, and those subjugated by the state? Why do those in power get away with their gaslighting, saying it is in the name of peace and prosperity? They blow up the sacred burial sites of Native communities and scar and plunder sacred ecosystems and protected national parks, erecting steel walls. But the wind laughed at the steel walls that could not stand when it blew. The violence of the state and the violence of consumption cannot destroy the holiness of the earth and the holiness of all God's children. God's anointed is called son and daughter and beloved child. Their embodiment of love creates a heritage for all people and all creation. This love will not let stand anything that comes against the God image, the anointing of God's children. So be warned, you who depend on the dehumanizing, the extraction, the consumption, the militarization, the superiority given to you by that which will ultimately destroy your own God image. Serve God and honor the resilience of the poor, the migrants, the queer and trans, and anyone dehumanized and subjugated by the state. Ask their permission to be in their presence, to wash their feet, to stand with them. You will not survive much longer dependent on systems that oppress and kill. You will find refuge in the communities and movements of liberating love. Amen.
Now our time in our service, in the liturgy that we use, the flow of the service offers us a chance to offer back to God a sign, potentially, one way I interpret it is a sign that we are listening, that we have come to this space and are recommitting or committing anew or changing something, and that we make a mark of that. And for some, that mark might be taking the money that we have and offering it back to God, sharing it with God's work in this world. If you want to know more about what Tabernacle does with your money, feel free to visit our website or ask any of the members of council. But if you want to give Tabernacle your money, please go to Tabernacle United and contribute, or you can text any amount to 84321. When you have the opportunity to give online, make sure that you tag your donation so we know how you would like it to be designated. You can see more directions about that on the screen. So take this opportunity, whether it is financially or through a commitment of action or thought, to take this time and offer back to God, offer your change, your commitment, your love. Amen.
Hoping each one might lead me home. I learned early on that trust can't come undone, and leave your heart guarding its deepest part. Oh, but you got through the marrow and bone, shed some light where none had shone. I lost, I found, oh, I was missing love, oh, missing love. I fought to stand my ground, oh, I was missing love, oh, missing love. My Savior, my friend, oh, I was missing.
Hoping each one might lead me home. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God, the story of humans on this earth is that we often get it wrong. But you come to us again and again and again with basically the same message. Love. Love God. Love each other. Love creation. Love yourself. Sometimes it takes clouds and bright lights, and sometimes it takes well-written sermons. Pull us back into your love once again. Guide our gifts of love today and every day, however they may be. Amen.
Now we come to the part of our service where we share our joys, concerns, and testimonies. And I invite you to use the chat function to share your requests. Lucinda will read them, followed by Lord in Your Mercy at the end of each request. And our response will be, hear our prayer. So let us share now our joys, concerns, and testimonies.
My prayer this morning I'd ask you to join with me in prayer for our friend Marquise, who's struggling right now and looking for healing and growth. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Elliot, for all those longing for love on this Valentine's Day, God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Amanda Fox, my friend Erica from work is in the ICU with a brain bleed. Prayers for her and her wife, Mia. They just got married on Thursday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Geneva, I lift up a prayer for Michelle Mosley, whose family is suffering from COVID. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jennifer, prayers for our friend Sarah's grandmother, Grandma, who is recovering from COVID. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Amanda, wishing my amazing partner a happy birthday on this upcoming Tuesday. You are the most incredible joy of my life. I love you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Susan Pierce. I pray we use our eyes to see past outer appearances and to see God in everyone. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Ana del Corazon, please pray for my friend Morgan, who is 25 weeks pregnant and her water broke. She is still pregnant and the baby is doing well. May they both do well and she be able to give birth to a healthy baby. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Verona Stern, Lord, thank you for shining your light in PAX through their voice, and also thank you for shining your love through Chris's sermon this morning. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Susan, prayers for the Thompson family as they figure out next steps and go through a time of change. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ron, good news. My brother-in-law, Harold, was moved from home hospice to home care. He has completely recovered from COVID. He still has congestive heart failure, but is regaining some of his strength, and the prognosis is much more positive than when he first moved home. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Ed Dugan, I am digitizing my family archives, and I came across a picture of me taken on the Staten Island Ferry. In the background, you can see the Twin Towers. It reminded me of the impermanence of anything man-made. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ana del Corazon, prayer for my abuela Elisa, who celebrated her 86th birthday last week. I pray for her health and for the health of my family who takes care of her. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
to these.
Well, one more, Geneva. From Amanda Fox. My cousin Rebecca's grandmother has lost the ability to be left home alone. Their whole family is taking turns staying with her until the home health aid they finally secured can start the week of the 22nd. Prayers for the grandmother's health and the family's ability to function. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Michelle, I'm so thankful for this provoking message from Chris. I feel inspired to face the big challenges I've faced with my family, who has been less than supportive. I would appreciate prayers for courage. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Anna Del Corazon, prayer for TAB's welcome and membership team, who is meeting for the first time this week. May God guide our work together as we incorporate new friends and members into our community. I have so many prayers for my spouse who is on the job hunt, prayers for their search. You keep those prayers coming, Anna. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
We add to these prayers those silent prayers, which we can't find words to express, that are in our hearts. And now let us sing together this song of prayer.
Óyenos mi Dios, óyenos mi Dios, listen to your people, óyenos mi Dios, óyenos mi Dios, óyenos mi Dios, listen to your people, óyenos mi Dios.
Loving God, we continue to pray to you because we know that you are the source of all love. On this cold winter morning, when the days seem bleak and damp and cloudy, we look to find your love shining through. What wondrous love it is. We know that there is no place where love cannot find us. Even when we feel we are sinking down and do not know where to turn. Even when we feel we have no friends. Even when we are searching for a new job. Oh God, your love is still there and will help buoy us up, so that we can meet the challenges that face us each day. Give us courage, strengthen our hearts, that we might spread your love to the poor, to the vulnerable, to the sick, to those who are in the ICU, to those who are at home in hospice care, to the dying, to those who are shut out. Oh God, help us spread your love in all these places. And help us listen and look for your love behind all the struggles, behind all the sufferings, behind all that seems bleak. Help us find new joy that we might celebrate creation and birthdays and love that we know are in our hearts. O God, unite us now as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. And the words are coming on the screen. You may use these or any version of this prayer that you know. Our parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we sing our final song, Before Me is Peace, I invite you to take in these words as an invitation to your week, to feel the love that Nicole and Elliot were talking about in the story all around you, before you, behind you, below you, above you, around you, and within you. If you want to look at someone for the motions, if you'd like to do the motions as well, Lucinda will be helping us with that. So let's sing together. Before me is peace, behind me is peace, below me is peace, above me is peace, around me is peace, within me is peace, around me. Within me is peace. Before me is love. Before me is love. Behind me is love. Below me is love. Above me is love. Around me is love. Within
called to fight the unjust systems. We are called to fight the bad ideas that drive those systems and the people who support them. But those same ideas are in us. Maybe not the same ones, but bad. We need to recognize those and work on them. The ones that are in us and the ones that come from outside us that we accept. But above all, we're called to love. May not convince anyone else to drop their bad ideas, but it will at least make your life easier. So go forth this week. Try to ignore the bad ideas. and above all, love each other, whatever way you want to. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Now we can go to gallery view and see everyone again. It was so wonderful seeing everyone doing those motions in your own space. It's really beautiful. Thank you all. And Chris, are you here? Where is Chris? There he is.
I'm here.
Thank you for that sermon. It's always good to hear your words.
Thank you.
How is everybody doing on this Valentine's Day? You can unmute yourselves. You can talk. How do we do that?
I'm feeling relieved and less jittery. That's on my Valentine's Day.
Gina, where are you? Can you unmute us? I don't know how to do that. Can we unmute? Can you unmute yourselves? No, I thought that. Yes. Where is Gina when I need her? I don't know how to unmute. She made me. Gina is gone. I don't know how to unmute. I'm supposed to be the person.
Wait, it just let me unmute. Is it going to let other people now?
Yeah. There you go.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you. That's much better.
Knows how to do it because it just mysteriously happened.
No, yeah. I'm doing it.
Okay.
They gave Chris the power.
Well, I realized I
but
had.
It looks like some people are still muted.
I know. Yeah. I can't. I don't know how to do everyone at once, but I can do them individually. So I'm just.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm sorry.
I think if you click on the participants thing at the bottom and get a window up.
That's what I then, did. That's what okay. I did, but I can still.
I'm doing one at a time. It'll just take a minute.
Oh, I see. I see how to do it one at a time.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I'm just learning new things here.
There we go.
Thank you, Chris.
I couldn't unmute.
Yeah, it's terrible when we can't talk. Hey, we can talk.
Hi, everyone.
Ron, the news about your brother.
Ron, the news about your brother is amazing. Yes.
I forgot. I had muted myself.
No, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you, Ron.
But I forgot I was using Carolyn's audio for the so that we wouldn't get a feedback, and I forgot that I still had mine muted.
Great news about your brother.
Yes, we were very happy to hear that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Still a road to go, but you know it's definitely an improvement.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. Always good to hear from people who are in hospice care and who recover. That's lovely.
Well, he's not recovered. He's still got congenital heart, congestive heart failure, and that needs to be dealt with. But
yeah,
we're very pleased. and happy.
Susan, I will have you know that I told Huck that you prayed for him last week, and he was like completely blown away by that and was just like super, super blessed by it. And he like, he doesn't believe in God or anything. So I think it actually meant a lot more. He was like, people who never met me before were praying for me. And he was just like super blown away by it. And I told him I would tell you how much you appreciated it.
That's good to hear. I will keep praying.
Michelle, happy almost birthday.
Thank you.
Okay, we have to go. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Bye, Susan.
Bye,
more church.
More church. More church.
Okay.
Listen, would you like some feedback to your sermon?
Sure.
I'd like to share a little bit.
Any complaints? Comments, questions?
Love it, Chris.
Chris, your sermons are always great.
Thank you.
And I love your humor too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I laughed more during this message than I normally do.
I try to make it a stand-up routine as much as possible, even if I am sitting down. Yeah.
I do see a thread going through your sermons because I have had the privilege of being at the last few of them.
Yeah. Thank you.
I like it though. I am challenged, and I am challenged by them, and to learn more and to unlearn more.
I don't know. Has anybody here ever heard the second verse of Home on the Range?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a deer and the antelope.
You know, my mother always sang me the first verse, never sang me the second. And then I heard the Michael Martin Murphy the second, was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, are you going to leave us uninitiated?
Look it up, Ed.
Just tell us what kind of bad it is. Is it racism bad? Is it sexism bad? Is it
very strange comments on the red man?
Oh, there it is. So it's racist.
Right? And it's sort of like wistful about, wow, we killed them all off. That was awful, you know. But yeah.
It's kind of like
in a very loving way.
Because I grew up in Texas, we had to sing that in elementary school, all the verses.
All the verses.
Yeah. I don't remember them all.
Yeah. How many verses were there?
I don't remember. I mean, we're talking three quarters.
Have to say.
Looks like three, according to Google.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you check the chat box, I just pasted it in. It's the second verse that's problematic. The third one isn't.
Yeah.
I of course,
reminded me of our approach to the lectionary. You know, it's like, well, we'll just skip the bad bits.
It's interesting because some of us have the privilege of skipping. It's much easier for us, mm-hmm. and others don't. And I really honor Michelle for putting out her prayer, and know that we are definitely with you wherever you go.
Thank you. My pronouns are they, them.
Right. I think we should all be paying attention to people's pronouns. There were a lot of slip ups this morning. Something we got to pay attention to, y'all.
Michelle, did you finish? I didn't hear what you said.
No, I just said thank you.
Oh,
I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's like, so it's so interesting how people can be like so like subtle in their oppression, and like consider their like their silence and like ignorance as like holiness. And I don't know, it's just like, it's just very challenging. It's challenging to like come up to that and try to challenge in someone's mind, challenge someone else's holiness.
Of course.
With your existence, kind of.
That's why I left my old church. That exactly. Trans people are in active rebellion against God. Cool. I'm out. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're here, Amanda.
Thanks. You're probably stuck with me for quite some time, so get used to the idea.
We're very happy to have people.
Yay. Alaska, how's the Midwest this week?
It's fine. We had a lot of snow lately, and people are freaking out. They think there's going to be a lot of ice and snow this coming week. I'm not sure why, but we're all preparing for it. So we'll see how that goes, if I have to go to work or not.
Oh, how's your girlfriend doing, Alaska?
Thank you for asking. She had her surgery 2 days ago to remove her gallbladder. And it was attached to an intestine somehow. And so it damaged it a bit when it was removed. And so she was in the most pain, I guess, the first day of her surgery, but she is doing better now. She is still in a lot of pain, but she has some medicine to help with that. So I haven't talked to her yet today, but hopefully she's doing better.
Good.
We're hoping that there won't be more issues. It feels like she can't catch a break.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear she's doing better on the road to recovery, at least.
Yeah, thank you.
I would also wish everyone less ice.
How was your COVID vaccination this morning, Jim?
Okay, I'm utterly terrified of needles, but I've got a little bit of pain afterwards, but it actually went really smoothly. So I'm very impressed with the staff over at HUP. And it's the Pfizer one, not the Moderna one. Not that just happened to be the one they had today. But I was thinking about, you know, a prayer of thanks for everyone else who was able to get one, and another prayer to lift for everyone who can get one, who wants to get one. And then a final prayer that, like, some of my brothers would like want to get one. They're my family, and, you know, if you don't have family, you have to fight with strangers, but they are my family, and I love every bone in their heads. Quote Ann Landers.
I have to remember that one.
That's from Ann Landers, and I about the only thing I can quote from her, but yeah.
Well, I have to say goodbye to everybody. It was wonderful. Thank you, Geneva, and especially
see
thank
you, Ed. You, Chris.
Take care.
And I hopefully we'll see. No, next weekend's my weekend to work, so I won't see you.
Okay.
But everybody have an ice-free, mishap-free weekend.
Right. Thank you.
I'm definitely praying for that.
I fell last year and hurt myself, and we didn't have very much ice at all. So
it doesn't take much.
Be careful, everyone.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Thank you all. Good to see all of you.
Cheers.
Especially Mike Ealing. Always good to see Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Good to see you, Mom.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
All right.
I'm headed out too. Hi. Bye, y'all.
Okay. Take care,
bye.
Everyone.
Have a good week.
Head it out too. I'll have a good week.
Bye-bye. See you guys next time.